morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful morning. I'm not preaching today. I'm not leading worship today. Oh my goodness. You're lucky I have a sense of humor. Reverend Tripp Torbert has, he took a Sunday off from his regular church to come and preach here. I'm not complaining. It really opened up my week to get a lot of other things done that I have been neglecting. So I very much thank you, Reverend Tripp, for coming in. He is a native of New Jersey, and he served as a naval aviator and a lawyer in New York City. And then he decided that the call to ministry was too much. So he had to go to seminary and get that divinity degree. He served in places in New Jersey, Shadyside, Penn Hills, and he does all sorts of fun things like writing and talking and volunteering and Mendelssohn on the board of the Mendelssohn Choir. but he doesn't, Mickey, he doesn't sing. Okay. So thank you very much for giving Reverend Tripp your full attention, and I'm sure he's got a wonderful word for us this morning. I also wanted to let you know that the craft show was a smashing success. The latest number that I have is $2,514 was raised. That's gonna help us out a lot. And many, many thanks to the Women's Association for putting it together, all of the planning and all of the hard work that you all put in. People really love that craft show, and all of the work that you put in, so thank you. Just a reminder that we will be hosting the Community Thanksgiving Eve worship service here at Glenshaw Valley, 7 p.m. Wednesday the 22nd, yes. Okay. And that should be great. The ministers of the North Hills Ministerium are getting together to plan that service, and there will be a nice fellowship hour afterwards. Speaking of which, I know you just made a lot of cookies for the craft show, but we will also need some cookies for the fellowship hour. we're expecting about 100 people for the worship service, so we're estimating about 50 dozen cookies. Whoa. Would be nice. But
we do like our cookies.
So think about it. We'll have more information on where to, you know, where and when to bring your baked goods coming up. I have a feeling that there are some things that I've forgotten. Any announcements that I need to?
Chili cook-off,
November 5th. Yes! Chili cook-off. So normally that's our like stewardship kickoff. After Arlie and I went to a stewardship conference, we're thinking about things a little bit different. So we're using November 5th and the chili cook-off as a time of gratitude and understanding, thinking more about like what we're grateful for in this church and how to move that gratitude forwards. So November 5th after worship. They won't need more cookies for that. There might be cookies there. Okay. any other announcements I need to, yeah.
I forgot to ask Arlie if she could help with the collection
Oh. Okay. No, that sounds great. All right. We're all set? Let us prepare ourselves for our call to worship.
The Lord is good to those who wait for God, to the soul that seeks the Holy One. It is good that we should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Come, let us worship God. The hymn is number 32, I Sing the Mighty Power of God, number 32. Let us join in our corporate prayer confession found printed in your bulletin. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, God of the promise, on whom we rely for life and its meaning, we confess that we have sinned against you by abandoning hope, by failing to hear or accept your promises, and by relying on ourselves to be both the source and the object of our own faith. Forgive us, we pray, and once more open our hearts to your mercy, our minds to your promise, our hands to your name in need. Restore us to faith in your providing care and your guiding love.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Friends, believe the good news. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
us say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is, by all reckoning, a community of faith. It is a community, and in a community, people love and respect and care for each other. This is a time to acknowledge that. Let us greet our friends and neighbors with the joy of Jesus Christ. There's lots to pray for these days. Lots of large things to pray for. But the reality is we live in a particular place. We know particular people. We care for particular people. And so if there are any other prayer requests, I have one here. Have any that you can always keep them in your heart. God sees what's in your heart. Actually, I should say God hears what's in your heart. Let us pray. Compassionate, healing, all-providing God, we're told that when people heard of Jesus coming their way, they would gather and follow on foot, and he would stop and he would talk to them, and he would heal them, and they would find rest for their souls. Without question or judgment or discrimination, Christ met the crowds where they were, and through your power provided for their needs, for their healing, for their sustenance, for their need to hear good news. Your church is now and always has been in need, Lord. We are in need of your compassion. We need a divine shepherd to help us get through these challenging times. Save us, we pray, from our selfish modes of individualism that seek to look only for our own needs, our own tasks, rather than seeing those opportunities for service that might be there right in front of us. We are in need of your healing for those who are weak and suffering or vulnerable. Bring them strength. For those who are impacted by mental illness or anxieties or depression, calm their fears. May they all be surrounded with your healing presence and know that they are not alone. And help us, as your children, help us to minister to our brothers and sisters, for those close to us, for Jesus' sake. We are in need of your provisions, Lord. Feed us with your everlasting word that can sustain us from day to day, that gives us meaning, that gives us hope, that points us in the paths of justice and peace. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, you lead us to green grass in dry, desolate places, and you multiply what little we have and feed us until we want no more. Dear God, your people gathered here in this holy place are trying to follow where you need, open and seeking to be transformed by your Holy Spirit. Create in us hearts to become effective and compassionate, miracle-working change agents in this world, proclaiming the might of your love at work for salvation. We pray these things for ourselves. We pray for those on our prayer list. We pray for those like Kathy and her knee replacement surgery, and for others whom we name before you in our hearts. Hear our prayers, said and unsaid. For we offer now the prayer Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The hymn is number 616, Awesome God. It's only about this long, and we can't just get up for that long, so we're going to do it three times. One, two, three times. Got it? Short hymn, three times. The psalmist, who has most of the good lines in the Bible, says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, running over. For the measure you give will be the measure you receive." Let us present our tithes and offerings, the work of God's people in this place. Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, the freedom to give with abandon for the cause of Christ, for the expansion of your kingdom, and the salvation of souls from the hold of sin and death. Use these gifts through us for your work in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 and 17 to 22. I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights as I had done the first time. And once again, the Lord listened to me. The Lord was unwilling to destroy you. The Lord said to me, Get up and go on your journey at the head of the people, that they may go in and occupy the land that I swore to their ancestors to give to them. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him alone you shall worship. To him you shall hold fast, and by his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven. The word of the Lord.
I noted the plea for more cookies. I grew up in New Jersey. We didn't have cookie tables. And the first time I got here, now we're talking 1993, and I attended a wedding. I wasn't even doing it. I attended a wedding. And I saw this people bringing stuff to the wedding and then going over to the side, little place to the side of the reception. And I looked in there, and it started about there and ended about there. And there must have been 50, 100 dozen of cookies, and then with stacks of things for you to make a selection and take home. I had no idea that I had entered paradise. Oh, my heavens. I've gotten in the fashion of having what I call a blurb before the sermon, which is something basically that occurred to me after I wrote the sermon and I couldn't find a place to put it in, so I just do it by itself. I've seen the movie Oppenheimer twice. Recently, I read an extended interview with the director in the publication The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And he talked about his inspiration for the film lying in a fundamental shift of science in the 20th century. It was a shift where the very large and the very small, the macro and the micro, were coming to be defined somehow using the same rules. He said, "It's what's in the middle that gets a bit complicated. The interactions lying between the two ends of the scale, the world we all live in, are really fascinating." You can say that again. And he does. Billy Collins, who was poet laureate of the United States for a term of 3 years, has a terrific poem. It's called Aristotle, in which he gives wonderful examples of beginnings and middles and ends. This is the beginning. Almost anything can happen. This is where you find the creation of light, a fish wriggling onto land, the first word of paradise lost on an empty page. This is early on, before the ark, dawn. The profile of an animal is being smeared on the wall of a cave, and you have not yet learned how to crawl, and so on. And then we have, this is the middle. Things have had time to get complicated, messy, really. Nothing is simple anymore. This is the bridge. The painful modulation. This is the thick of things. So much is crowded into the middle. The guitars of Spain, piles of ripe avocados, Russian uniforms, noisy parties, lakeside kisses, arguments heard through a wall. Too much to name, too much to think about. so much is crowded into the middle. Louise, Emily, and I enjoy visiting our nation's capital every once in a while. Journey takes 4 hours, maybe a little more, depending. But we know that no matter how early we make it out the door, no matter how fast I drive, how carefully I drive, it always takes 2 hours to get to Breezewood. Breezewood, for those of you visiting from California, is a stop on the turnpike. Breezewood calls itself the town of motels. Used to be the traveler's oasis. Breezewood, nestled between the turnpike and Interstate 70, is a classic case of so much is crowded into the middle. An American rest stop at its best, or worst, depending. There are three things you probably didn't know about Breezewood, and therein lies a good illustration about living right in the middle of things. The first is that Breezewood always has been what it is now, a stopping place for travelers. It lies on the east side of a 7-mile-wide valley, which long served as a traditional pathway for Native Americans. When European settlers came, they worked their way west along the same pathway. Ditto for the British troops in colonial times, when the track was improved into a wagon road by General Forbes. They named something after him. In the early 20th century, Breezewood was a popular stopping place for automobile travelers. Route 30, the Lincoln Highway, opened in 1913. Greyhound bus lines had enough regular business to open a post house facility in 1935. In 1940, Breezewood was made Exit 6 on the first section of the just-opened Pennsylvania Turnpike. This is a little strange because once you got off the turnpike, there wasn't any real place to go. So it must have been because it was time to have another exit. The first new structure, the Gateway Motel and Restaurant, was built then. Breezewood was later renumbered Exit 12, but is now 161, following mileage-based exit numbering. Breezewood's real boom came in the 1960s after Interstate 70 from Maryland to the Turnpike was finished. This also got Breezewood called the Gateway to the South. This intersection of I-70, the Turnpike, and US 30 caused major expansion of hotels, fast food, and convenience stores, including truck stops and souvenir stands. Instead of just the old Maple Lawn Inn, now dozens of businesses are all packed in to a 500-yard stretch of highway. The second is that Breezewood's weird connection between Interstate 70 and the Turnpike isn't their fault. It comes from a situation only a lawyer could love. Driving to DC, you exit the Turnpike, drive about a mile and a half on the ramp, then circle on to Route 30 for a few blocks, then turn left onto Interstate 70 and head south. Why not just have a direct link? It is the money. Federal law at the time said you could use federal funds for a direct connection from a toll-free interstate to a turnpike, but only if, when the financing got paid off, you stopped collecting tolls on the turnpike. Well, that wasn't going to go anywhere. Interstate 80 was being completed north, and competition meant that the turnpike needed to keep collecting all the money it could. So what we get out of this is something for trivia buffs. Interstate 70 actually starts at the end of the long turnpike off-ramp. It doubles Route 30 until it turns south and goes limited access again. It is, therefore, one of only two places in the country where an interstate has traffic lights. One effect, terrific traffic jams on major travel days. One reporter noted that many drivers trapped in gridlock after giving thanks to a higher authority for their blessings have asked a lower authority to ensure a warm spot in the afterlife for certain highway engineers. Third fact you might not know is that Breezewood isn't really a town at all. It's really an unincorporated village in Bedford County. Bedford itself is one exit to the west. Businessweek wrote that Breezewood is perhaps the purest example of a great American tourist trap. Not really. It's not a trap. There's no deception involved. What you see is what they got. And no, you don't have to stop there. But the human digestion system, one end or the other, does seem to notice Breezewood warnings bell, either coming west from Philly or east from the Berg. Over 3 million vehicles a year pass through the village, which is a lot of commercial opportunity. Breezewood has its own zip code, 15533. Population 180. Some people call it the Las Vegas of roadside strips, a blaze of neon in the middle of nowhere. From the letter to the Hebrews, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Sermons, as opposed to travel guides, usually involve people, their hopes, their dreams, their sins, their virtues, their apostasy, their faithfulness. I've talked about Breezewood, and I expect that the picture most of us have about it isn't particularly flattering. It's a place born out of necessity, perhaps, but in its execution, reflecting lots of the sad glitz of American roadside all in a third of a mile. To really understand Breezewood and why we should, we have to look a little deeper. We have to look in a mirror and see, perhaps indistinctly, something about faith and something about love as it actually works in the world. Cindy Weichert got a job at the Post House cafeteria, mainly because of her sister and her aunt, who worked there since the place opened in 1931. Joe Biden, no relation, and his brothers used to run it back then. The Post House closed in 2004, so Cindy went to work down the street at the Gateway, or the Big G, as they say. Kind of figured I'd retire from there, but it just didn't work out that way, she said, her blue wiping cloth skimming table 14. Cindy's day starts about 4 in the morning. She lives a few miles west, drives Route 30 to the restaurant to arrive by 5 a.m., start of her 9-hour shift. She used to wear a greyhound blue dress with a starched white collar, sometimes with a matching cardigan. Now the G provides a green bib to go over her own white shirt and black skirt or slacks. No jeans, please. 5 o'clock is the middle of the trucker shift, and she knows many of the regulars who prefer the G to the truck stop next door. She likes most of them, even though the guys from the long haul companies like to give her a hard time. She returns the attitude, says, "I like the attention, and they tip better." Has she waited on anyone famous in the restaurant? Neil Diamond, she says, without hesitation. He came in once when he was going to Philly and his bus needed fixed. He was real nice. I mean, you knew who he was, but he had coffee like everybody else and apple pie. He signed a picture for Joe Jr., but they took it when they left. Anyone else? Well, there was Billy Snyder, who was engaged to my sister, but he was only famous for getting in the newspaper. For what? Well, he and his brothers, they bought a bunch of lottery tickets, and they split them up, and his brother hit big and wouldn't share, and they had this big fight in court. But Billy, he didn't get anything. His brother got it all. I guess that's pretty famous for around here. She goes about her work with a fluid grace that comes from knowing a lot about serving food and even more about people. She serves fried chicken, whipped potatoes with gravy, corn, homestyle mac and cheese, and spinach. She used to stack plates on her arms, but now uses a big tray with a wet towel on it. She serves oatmeal cookies, three on a plate. She serves coffee, tea, milk, hot chocolate, Diet Coke. She gives people extra butter and their salad dressing on the side. She uses an order pad, but she hardly needs it. "I know what people want," she says. "Sometimes I can tell before they open their mouth. It's a feeling you get. Here's a man who looks like coffee and chocolate ice cream." Still, she likes it there. The business is steady, even if it means there's not a lot of downtime. In the post house, she says, you'd have three buses all at once pull in, and then just like that, you'd have 100-150 people, and everyone wants something right now. It was, she says, feast or famine for us. She knows that people mainly come to the G to eat, but they buy souvenirs too. Not really the here I am in Breezewood stuff. They buy souvenirs for Washington because they figure even though they've got 2.5 hours to go at least, it's cheaper here. And they're probably right. My favorite, she says, is students on field trips. Their parents give them money, so if they're headed home and they stop here, they'll try to spend every last dime. It's really cute when some kid looks up at me and says, "What can I get for $2.47? Cynthia Weichert, just your everyday angel, working at the G in a neon oasis in the middle of nowhere. Now, here's the deal about Breezewood. It's everywhere. Everywhere. And the people who work there are everywhere. Look closely. You'll see. They don't care where you came from. Though if you're from Pittsburgh and you open your mouth, they can usually tell. They don't care where you're going either. Although they might ask, and if they do, everyone tells them. They serve old people, young people, people suffering from raging hormones and other people who wish they had some. People who will go on diets the next day, they swear. And people who were on a diet, but not today, honey. They serve Marines coming home and National Guard troops heading out. They serve Roman Catholic hamburgers on Fridays. Presbyterians who take forever to make up their minds. And Jews who usually don't have ham and cheese. And they serve people who come there every morning, ones that come every time they drive from Pittsburgh to Princeton, ones that have never been there before. And it doesn't make any difference if you're a regular or not. Chances are they're not going to get rich or famous working at the G, or the McDonald's, or the Comfort Inn, or the Blue Beacon truck wash. Even though every once in a while, a Neil Diamond will happen by and give them a picture for the wall. They're not usually going to be people you remember, because like all real life angels, they work their errands of grace in ordinary places at all times of the day and night. Consider, if you will, that Breezewood is a not that bad example of the church in the world. It's found at the intersections of this life, in the crowded middle of things. It's got a story about how it got to be that way. Some people will find the bright lights to be a beacon in the middle of their night, and others won't like the glare. and the people we find there are just like us. People in the business of serving others, day in, day out, sun, snow, sleet, or whatever. Paul writes this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. Let love be genuine, he says. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, I'm not going to suggest that you rename this place Breezewood Angels Church, but I do think we'd all do well to remember that our calling, our job, our business in this place is to be servants of our friends and neighbors. And that is, we are reminded again and again and again and again, that is how we show our love for God. And last piece of advice, if you do eat in Breezewood, please tip well. Amen. The hymn is number 450, Be Thou My Vision. 450. And now go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen.